Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Then I learned, like, it's hard to get a message. I applaud preachers, man. I applaud not pastors, preachers, anybody, because it's like, you don't really get your message until probably like close to the end of the week. Maybe I'm in the minority, I don't know, but it's like, you kind of like have to kind of, you're like, well, okay, what am I going to talk about? And you're like, okay, I got it. Then you're like, by Wednesday, you're like, erase it. Then you're like, no, something else. And then you go a different angle. Then it's like this. My notes kind of disappeared on me on, I think, Thursday. And I was like, man, it was the same thing, but I think I had a more assertive approach when I studied it by the time Friday hit, Friday, Thursday, between that time. So one of the things I want to talk about, and it's been on my heart, and you know, me and Michael, we go and we shoot the breeze all the time, and we're just always discussing, our minds are always racking, we're deep thinkers, but the thing that's been on my heart for about the last, I don't know, maybe the last year or so, has been purpose and vision. Gifts and callings. Vision, purpose, gifts, and callings. And before we start, let's just go ahead and pray. Lord, dear Lord, we just thank you first of all for just this fellowship, Lord. We thank you for just each and every person that is here. Lord, we ask that you touch those who are not here, Lord. And I ask that you just remove all self, Lord, from me, Lord, and let just your word go forth, Lord. Remove anything that's not like you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you. Yes, this has been on my heart. Like you said, a whole bunch of things racking. I was thinking about Mike's message. I've been thinking about your message, Pastor's message, legacy, and all these things. And I've been trying to thinking about what's going on in the world today. God kind of gifted me with this kind of gift of just observing, you know, observing around you and being able to kind of discern the things, different things that are going around you. And what I kind of came up with, what it really sums up down to, is these four things. And I want to preference it, as my notes say, it may come off as, because I'm talking to a crowd that I want to say that you guys are believers first, foremost, that your life is started and rooted in Christ, first of all. And that what I'm about to say means nothing unless it's founded on Christ. Because the issue is, meaning and sanctity has been lost in our world today. Identity has been lost. People don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. They're just living. They're not even really living. They're actually existing. Yes, they go to work. Yes, they may live from the perception, a relatively normal life, which I personally think normal, that's a very loose term. Everybody's trying to live this normal life and trying to just, but what I see is a complacency, a deadness, a spiritual deadness. That's what you see in the world today. An absence of God. That's when somebody says the land is godless. It's absent. That means it's void. And that's where the chaos begins, because their life is not founded. So I wanted to kind of preference that. But the key verse is that what I'm going to try to do is try to walk you through this and just try to give you something to kind of chew on while you go through the week. And the first one is a very basic scripture. It's Matthew 6:33. You can go ahead and get that up there. Um, and I know it's a very popular one, but it has so much impact, and I think because it's so popular and it's so well known, it's often gets overlooked now. It's now become now very cliched and very, you know, first thing people say. You got that up for me, Mike? 633. And of course you guys know it. It's, and I'll get it while you guys are getting that. It is, of course. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We all know that one. Now, of course, you see, surprisingly, I've been getting the notion that people say, okay, seek first the kingdom, and they'd be like, okay, how do I do that? And I want to kind of touch on this because, I mean, my brother Mike, he's been kind of on worship so much. So when I thought about this, I was thinking about how a lot of people, when they say seek first the kingdom, they don't know what's happening in the process of seeking first the kingdom and what it's really speaking about. When it says seek first the kingdom, first thing we say in all is righteousness. First thing righteousness come out. First thing we think about is morality. Do the right thing, which is true. You should do these, think about the law of God. But it's also talking about the right perspective, the right understanding. See, a lot of times we're asking God, but in worship, and I'm connected to what Mike's been saying to us, he's been saying, hey, if you worship and you go towards God, then you can start seeing yourself. See, a lot of things, a lot of you have a lot of desires, which I'm going to get to the next scripture, which leads us to the next scripture. And a lot of us just, we have many desires. We want things from God. We want things from life. But the problem is we don't know how to rightly apply it. We just don't know how to weave through it. We want money, but we don't have the right understanding about money. We want a house, but we don't know the right understanding. We want to get married. We don't have the right understanding about marriage. We have all these things that we want. The problem is not that it's bad to have it. It's just you don't have the right understanding. So God has to first understand your desire, and then he begins to work it out. But see, the one issue that happens is we're not honest. The issue is we're sometimes, as people, when it comes to God, we kind of get over-religious-fied, I guess. That's the new word I'm going to use. I'm just making it up. But you know what I mean. Your approach to him is not genuine. It's not real. And usually when worship comes out, usually true worship brings out a genuineness out of us. And he's trying to pour that out because he can't really get to you when he knows he's looking right through you. He sees right through you. He knows your intention. He knows what you really want. But you keep kind of giving this prayer that you think is formal and, you know, I got to do it like this and like that. And he's like, that's not you. One of the testimonies I had when I was learning how to, you know, when I got into like a lot of the gifts that I'm doing, I do a lot of music, and from there it came from acting and all these other things are beginning to pour out. But it was, I had to come to the understanding of who I was. Because there's a lot of things I don't like. I mean, it's not that I don't like it, it's just if you ask me to do something and I'm not really interested in it, probably won't follow through with it because I'm just not interested. I'll start great. I'll start at the beginning but I'll get bored. And so God had to deal with me. I'm being real with that and saying, and it made me more assertive about my yeses and nos when I tell people no and yes and no. Because when we get into church, like when we first get saved, we get very excited. We're just wanting to do everything and all this and stuff. And we're just wanting to help people. But we have a lot of zeal, but not according to knowledge, if you've heard that. And that's where it comes from. And so God, first thing he dealt with me in my walk is, look, I can see right through you. And I had been raised in the church, so I know how to do the protocol. I know how to do the clapping, dancing, shouting, all that. And it was like, you know, what's the point of doing all that if it's not real? You know, one of my things was that I was never... One of the gifts that God gives mankind is conviction. And a lot of people think that's just, oh, God just makes you feel guilty. No, conviction is about doing something with meaning and having it mean something. doing things with a purpose. God never does anything just to be doing stuff. You never, whenever you reach a word, I guarantee you, the question should come to mind, why did he put it there? There is a reason. Now you got to search it out, but you got to think, he's just not having these guys write just to be writing. Just, that's just a nugget. So when it says seek first the kingdom, one of the things that's starting that pulls out of seeking first the kingdom, it speaks to your passion. It speaks to your passion, and it also asks of you your determination. Are you willing to, how far are you willing to go? How willing are you going to suffer with it to pursue whatever it is, the objective that God has placed on your heart? So, like last week, Mike was talking. He was like, how far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to take this? See, a lot of times we ask for something in prayer, and I understood when he talks about praying amiss. And when we pray amiss, he's saying improper prayers. What is the improper prayer? You're asking for stuff, but you don't know what you're asking for. Or you're not willing to go through what you're asking for. Now, I'll give you just one of the key nuggets. Everything that you ask for is waiting for you. A lot of people are just forfeiting it. Eternal life is for everyone. But what's happening, the reason why people are falling and going to hell and separating from God is because they are forfeiting. In so many words, they're just forfeiting. It's theirs. The minute you give your life to Christ, it's yours right there. It's life, eternal. It's right there. Life begins. It doesn't wait until Christ comes back in heaven. That's just the everything coming full circle. But it's not, but if you want it now, it's right here. It's now faith. It's right here. So I just want to keep that in mind. But that's the thing that's happening in seeking first the kingdom. You have questions. You have things you want. You have this. How far are you willing to go to get it? And I want to give you this nugget just because this word passion has been, it's just a sidebar, but this word passion has been used in terms of lust. It has nothing to do with lust. The term passion, when it talks about in the Bible, it talks about the passion, just like it says the passion of the Christ. Obviously, it's not talking about lust. That term has been used, you know, you hear it a lot of times when you say, when Paul talks about how people who are a couple that seem like they're burning with passion. Yeah. Actually, what he's saying is, he's saying, let them marry. But he's saying is, he's questioning their motives because he wants to make sure that what their action is lining up with their heart. So he's saying, hey, if you're so burning with passion, then marry. Shouldn't be a hard thing. But if you're playing games, then separate. So when he's talking about passion, it's talking about they're ready to commit, they're ready to go through, how far are they willing to go, how willing are they going to suffer with one another. And the word suffering also is misinterpreted. Suffering and misery are two different things. When you suffer with a purpose. Like when you go and you play, and if you're an athlete, you know you have to suffer. That means you have to go through the rigors, you have to go through the things that are par for the course. And so what happens is people think it's miserable. That's why this is important to know a vision. So we go to the next scripture. It's Proverbs 19:21. Let's go there. You know, you do kind of go blank when you're trying to look for pages because you feel like there's a gap in your, it is, it really, I'm like sitting here like, I was like, Mike, why are you like, I was like, I see it because I'm doing it right now. I'm like, I've seen it like 1,000 times. I did it all week. Why am I taking so long to get to my, I'm in Psalms right now. I'm like, why is it taking so long for me to get, it's like time is like on a different timetable up here. It's like you're going fast and everybody's like, hurry up. You're not, and you're like, it's all in your head. It's all in your head, you guys. I want you to know that. It's all in your head. Okay, so we got, actually, yes, I'll go here. 1921. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Let's say it again. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Kind of leads back to what I was saying. Many people have, you have many thoughts, you have many things that you want. Now let God sort it. Let him counsel you through it. And that's where a lot of us lose it. But to get back to the point, what is your vision? What is your purpose? And you'll be surprised when you ask people questions like this, they always give you that, I don't know. And that is one of the main problems why people are having problems. Because they're asking people to do stuff for them, but they have to answer this themselves. You can't, how should I put it? Somebody comes to ask you, you know, I'll put it in the confines of marriage because it seems like that's the biggest issue, or relationships that are happening. Somebody asks, you know, okay, you want to get married. Why? I don't know. So you don't know. You just want to get into something you don't even have no clue what you're about to get into. Okay, you want to get, okay, I'll bring in the form of salvation. Okay, you want to get saved. Why do you want to get saved? I don't know, because everybody's doing it. That's not, without it, it's not, it's like, where's the, there's no root. You just want to do stuff. Oh, you need help. Okay, what are you trying to do? Okay, I don't know. What do you want me, what do you want the next person to do? They can't do anything for it. Unless you know what you want, they can't really help you until you know what you want. But a lot of people don't want to, because there's such a wrestling in this question, they don't want to go through that. So they're waiting for somebody else to come around and do it. But then when they come and do it, then you're saying they're taking over, they're doing this. No, wait, hold on, stop. How can they help you if you don't know what you want? How can they guide? Okay, like I said, in marriage, a lot of people, and people would think, wow, you're single. Well, how do you know? Well, I made some mistakes, so let's just put it like this. In any relationship, on any platform, whether it's business, relationship, whatever, two people help each other. That's the thing that's happening. People understand, like, a man's the head, woman's the help. He can't lead unless she knows what she wants. He can't help her lead. He can't lead her into the right direction unless she knows what she wants. She can't help him if he doesn't know what he wants. Like, if you, all right, I lived in a world where a lot of people did a lot of, you know, womanizing. The reason why a lot of people womanize is because they don't know what they want. So they just go here and there and there and there. And the biggest thing is they're like, well, what do you want? You're like, I don't know. Well, you just need to probably take a seat real quick until you know what you want. And a lot of people don't want to get in that place of, like you said, worship, where we don't want to just be still to the point that we just start really wrestling with, God, who am I? They don't want to do that Jacob syndrome where they got to go wrestle with God and find out who they are so they can move forward. And so, but it takes determination, it takes suffering, it takes a pursuit of taking a risk. And so, this is the biggest thing that's happening in society. And we'll go to Proverbs 29:18. And I like how if you could put the King James version up, because I like how that translation says it. Now, of course, mine's the New King James Version. It kind of says it differently. It says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. But happy is he who keeps the law. But the King James Version gives it a little bit more power to it, to a sense. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he who keeps the law, happy is he. How many times have you heard in society it's called, like, if a town is, a city is struggling, you know, a lot of things are happening, violence brings up, they say it, a town with no identity. They don't know what they're doing. They have no direction. You hear this, why, when Jesus wept, he looked over the city, he said, the shepherd, they're sheep without a shepherd. They're just moving. And you know what happens when people wander, they just fall into anything. That's why many people are like, I feel like God is shaking up the globe because people are getting to a place where they're just complacent. That is a dangerous thing. A lot of people don't. It's subtle. It's the most subtlest thing. I was looking over in research, and they were talking about how there's no really wars going on between countries, but a lot of the wars are happening and they're imploding. They thought it was a good thing. But this is probably the worst thing that's happening because countries are not getting hit by a foreign power. They're collapsing from underneath. They have no foundation, so they're collapsing. Families are collapsing underneath because they never had a foundation. Relationships are breaking because they never had a vision. They never had a vision for what they were going. They just were doing with nothing inside. And we know this is the only belief and only worldview where Christianity is the only worldview where it starts from within and then it brings out. It starts like a tree. That's why he uses the analogy of the seed. It goes into the ground and then it sprouts up. But everybody else is trying to do it from the outside. You can't plant a seed from the outside. You must go inside and then build up. So a lot of people are doing, but they don't know why they're doing it. And a lot of times, many people are, you know, we talk to many, you know, people that are atheists or agnostic. They're like, well, I can be moral. Yes, you can, but why? It's pointless. Your life is not pointless. Just doing because... just to do, well, you're following somebody. Why? Why are you following this person? You're just following just to be following them? That's a person with no vision. They have to piggyback. And the thing about no vision is you're handicapping your imagination. You know what I mean? You're trying to be creative, but there's no reason to be. It's like, what substance? And everybody's hungering for substance in this world. That's why people are disappointed. That's why they go to lust. They go to these things, stimulation, but they're never satisfied because they're trying to grab and they're trying to get this, and it satisfies for the moment, but then it dissipates. It dissipates here and it dissipates there, and they're finding themselves very frustrated with life now. You know, and so. No vision, people perish.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197. To let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
And I said in the notes, it was without an understanding of who you are and how of who you are, how will you know where you're going? So what's happening is what we always say, people are lost. Lost. A lost generation, but can it be found? Yes, it can absolutely be found. It can be found in Christ. But now we understand this in this, that I told you before, God doesn't do anything vainly. And so in vision and purpose, I want to let you know that vision, purpose, gifts, callings, they work as one. They work as one. They're not separate. Oh, I have a vision, but I don't have a purpose. No, it doesn't work. I have a gift, but I don't have a purpose. No, there's a reason for the gift. The gift has a purpose in your life. The calling is connected to the gift. The gift is a vision. Now what are you about to do? Now let God start sorting that out. But in finding that, it doesn't happen overnight. Because there's some questions God is going to ask you. Questions God's going to have to deal with you on. But first, you have to first be willing to go through whatever he's asking you to go through. Now, the thing about suffering is you have to count up the cost of what you're about to go through. And this is the part where people get paralyzed. See, a lot of this, and it's so funny because a lot of stuff I'm saying to you is biblical, but see, we've been telling you this for years, but you've been going to motivational speakers and all these things to go and get this insight. We got it right here. Yeah. They ain't saying, that's why a lot of them, they're talking, they ain't saying nothing. They're saying principles of what we've been telling you the whole time. The body of believers been telling you the whole time. Like your dreams and aspirations. Yes, God wants you to use your dreams and aspirations. He wants to use that expression to bring about his glory. But what happens is, a lot of times what happens is the common thing. When we approach God, we give him this fluff. We give him this, I don't know, this, what we think. And it's really just us trying to figure God out instead of just getting to know him. We're trying to play this chess game with him. It's like, stop. And you're selling yourself short. And you're handicapping yourself. So many people are handicapping themselves. And so, when I got to this place of right now, in this place, it's a very, tough road for me. But it was, one thing it was my decision. And the word decision is just like the word incision. Once you make a decision, you cut off all the other things. And this is the thing. One thing that's happening, people are trying to stretch themselves because they don't want to make that incision in their decision. They're trying to, I want this, but I don't want to let go of this. I want this, but I don't want to let go of this. I want this, but I don't want to let go of this. I want this, but I don't want to let go of this. And that's the reason why a lot of people are not having so much fruitfulness. And that's the goal. That's why they're not really living life. So it goes, destination. Luke 14:28, if you can get that up there. For which of you intend to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, rather he has enough to finish it. Let me use that. For which of you intend to build a tower and does not sit down first and count up the cost, whether he has enough to finish it. Now worship shows, now we've been talking about worship. Now worship is one of the things of worship is sitting down. Slow your life down. The biggest issue is we live in this rat race kind of world. We feel like we got to hurry up and do things. And like I said, seeking first the kingdom, a lot of things as I've been on this journey, a lot of things about myself and about the world around me is that what I thought in my own theory was absolutely wrong. I thought about how the value of what a man is or value of what a person is. I'm seeing that people are scriptures that were always taught to me. He's like, well, like a man doesn't work, doesn't eat. That was one of the biggest ones that I was having. Because I was going through sometimes as an actor, I go through some financial gaps sometimes. And I'm like, sometimes people will be like, well, you ain't working. I'm like, yeah. Nah, actually, God was like, well, God, I'm not really employed right now. He said, there's a difference between working and being employed. He said, I know what the word, I know. I'm like, God, you said, man, don't work, he don't eat. He's like, yes, I did say that. But aren't you working? Just because the result hasn't come quickly doesn't mean you ain't working. And he was like, I was like, man, because I was weary, because I was thinking, everybody else is thinking on their perception. It's like, I'm not doing it. So I'm like, I said, nah. He said, matter of fact, he said, some people are employed. Some people are living, working a job, but they're lazy. You know why? He said, you know why? He said, because they're scared. They're scared to jump out. He said, he gave me insight about, I'm not in, into the economy so much. I don't know the lingo, but I do know the principles to the point that he said, your economy, you know why it's hit? It's because they don't want to work. They don't want to do the real work. They want to wait for somebody else to do it for them. He said, you know what the people do now? He said, in your history, I was looking. I said, people settled. He said, look at the people that, and I was working at a certain job at the time, and I was like, a lot of them were older, and they were like, man, get out of here. You got too many dreams. You got so many things. There's so many things you could do right now. They were like, get out of here. You got to go. You got to do it. He said, I don't care if you're scared. Do it. Go do it. He said, this will always be here. He said, you know, and he was like, observe. He said, observe. What's happening? He said, they've been there for how many years? 20 years. 20 years. They tried to take the easy road. They said, oh, they were like, well, I can do this and at least I'll get a check every week and stuff like that. But they weren't supposed to be there that long. They were supposed to go do their dream. They didn't do what I asked them to do. What it is. He said, you can look at it from both sides of both the believer and the world. They don't seek after me to seek first the kingdom. Because if they would have, they would have knew that they could accomplish anything. But they got scared. They start relying on their substance instead of the one who gives substance. So they went and they settled. And they settled and they were like, oh, I just want to start a family and all this other stuff. But they never had a vision for their own life. He said, how many people? He said, okay, Tam, you've seen a lot of divorces happen. Unfortunately, you had to see it. He said, you know why it happened? Because they didn't have a vision. He said, they didn't dissect their own life. So they couldn't sort out who they need to pick for their spouse. Because they didn't know who they were. So they couldn't cut away. I needed to get them to a place where I can cut away and deal with them. Since they're not dealing with them, I have to back. Now they're in this proverbial cycle. And they're hitting these ceilings. And he's saying the believer is starting to hit these ceilings. Because they have no vision. He said, you look at churches, why are they shutting down? Because they have no vision. I said, what are they supposed to do? They don't know themselves. So things get tough. They don't have that why they're doing it. He said, why are people falling away? He said, they don't have that why in them. They don't go back to the foundation of what their why is. Why are you doing this in the first place? Why did you come in the first place? Because when it gets ugly, it's going to show. That why is going to keep you. So he says, count up the cost. The do decide. Now, after you count the cost and you don't want to do it, fine. We'll find something else. But I'm going to deal with you about that, why you don't want to do it. If you don't like it, I'll be like, yeah, I don't want to do it. And you'd be like, he dealt with me in that. He was like, yeah. I said, why don't you want to be a doctor? I don't want to be in front of all that blood. I just don't. I just really can't. I can't do it. I can't. I'm just not that guy. It's hard to see. Like, some people can't handle that. Some people can't handle children coming in the hospital every day. Some people can't. Why am I not a police officer? Why? Because I can't. I don't have the tolerance for it. That takes a lot of tolerance. You say, you know, why don't you get... Somebody asked me, like, why don't you get in a restaurant? I know why I don't get in a restaurant. Because I am not... I will go off. I'm not. I'm just not that guy. Lord, you know, I was just like, yeah. He said, you're not interested in that. And one time I was like, I was in a kind of a lost place. I was like, when dealing with the music, it was, dude, you keep coming back to this. Why do you keep coming back to this? You keep trying to quit because it got hard? Because, you know, you hit a place where it got hard? He said, you can't live life like that. And people are living life like that. And so they're unstable in all their ways. And if you just... So, the destination, you got to know why you're going on the journey. Like, even as a believer, why you got saved? What saved you? Because it gets ugly. It gets really ugly. And people think it's just this beautiful walk. And there's days where it gets dark. It gets real dark. And it's like, the only thing, yes, is God, but God put in you this why. Why are you doing this? There was a why. See, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he had a why in him. Jesus had a why in him. That you can't, that conviction of why, of I can't, oh, I don't want to do this, but dang, it's just that thing that rises up in you. That was the thing that Jeremiah had that shut up in his bones, that fire in him. That was it. He was like, I want to quit, but dang, this thing keeps rising up in me, and I don't want to say nothing, but I got to say something because this why is burning up in me, and he's showing you all these things, and it's like, you have to have that why. If you don't, you're just going to be wandering. And people have many forms of showing wandering. They can have a business and a great 401k and they're wandering. They're successful, but they're wandering. They give you the appearance of a person that got you together, but they're wandering. If they have it together, then why is your world crashing in front of your eyes? It's not even something that you would just see on TV and think it's something off in the distance. This is on your back door. You're seeing the poverty, you're seeing people we've been talking about it, you know, the last summers and stuff, the Black Lives Matter and stuff. Why are you doing it? I asked a guy, he was talking about the Black Lives, he was like, Black Lives Matter, but he was an atheist. I was like, why are you, dude, technically, based on your whole understanding, dude, nothing even matters. So why are you fighting? Yeah, you can fight, but you don't know the reason to define and defend what you're fighting for. So why? So you're shaking your fist for what? At the end of the day, you die. Sin. The only difference is between the day of your birth and the day of your death is that little dash mark, according to your logic. I know this because this is what saved me. Because the thing that my testimony is not a big life. It wouldn't be on Lifetime. It wouldn't be one of those Lifetime originals. It wouldn't be one of those. It wouldn't. It would just be the simple question. It was a three second revelation of me going to the keys and going to my dad's, grabbing my dad's keys, and I had a glimpse of my whole life, and it was like a whole bunch of pages that were missing, that were supposed to be written, but it wasn't. And at that moment, I was empty. And I felt a sadness in me because it was like, that can't be it. And I was selling myself short. I thought it was life. I thought it was living. And so you have a lot of people that think they're living and just existing. And they're trying to conjure, they're trying to, what we call in acting, manufacture something. It doesn't come from a genuine place. It's just manufacturing life. It's just artificial because somebody else told them. So it is, the destination is so important. Counting up the cost, knowing it. Then it's a part of being faithful. Now that you know it, now when you say you're going to commit, there's no back door. There's no plan B. There's closing the door and I'm going. If you're still in a place of still looking towards the back door, then you're not ready. It's just not. You're not. And that's what's happening. It says in the last days they would be truce breakers because they're just, every second, they just, when things go rough, they're bailing. People are betraying each other. You know why people are so much bitter on Facebook? Because people are betraying one another. Because they never knew what they wanted. So they go back and they're like, oh, I didn't think it was going to be like this. I'm out of here. Oh, I didn't think she was going to be like this. I'm out of here. Oh, I didn't think he was going to be like this. I'm out of here. Oh, doing music? Oh, you have to do all this? Oh, I'm out of here. Oh, preaching is like this? Oh, pastoring is like this? Oh, no, I'm out of here. That's what they're doing. The fire is hitting them and it's burning them and they're gone. Because if you're going to go all the way through, you have to not only take the fire, you have to embrace it. There's a boxing terminology they say. They say that the boxer has to want to be hit. He has to embrace it. He has to brace the rigors of whatever he's about to do. That's why those guys are unique individuals, because when you go in, they call the ring the chamber of truth. You can't hide. See, in other sports, you can hide. You can kind of hide your talents. Oh, yeah, you know, take a playoff here and stuff like here. You know, the player, you know, in football, if you're on the other side of the field, the player go over here, you're like, oh, tackle him, or you got him, okay, you got him. But in boxing, you can't hide. You got to fight him. It's right there. And that's what, you know, like I said, me and Mike, we talk about spiritual warfare. You can't hide this one. This fight, you can't hide. It'll expose you. And sometimes it's a good thing to be exposed. Sometimes. Because it's like, now I know where I'm at. And that road is very a vulnerable road, you know? Okay. Another thing. Know what you're asking for. And know that it's waiting for you. This is for the committed one. You're praying for something. Know that it's waiting for you. But you have to go through this road to get there. And the distraction is all the little rigors that you see on it. Like heaven is yours. But a lot of people get distracted by the the distractions. From a spiritual standpoint, we get distracted by it. The practical standpoint, you have something that you're trying to do. There's something you're trying to accomplish. There's oppositions and things that are trying to stop that, that try to derail you. Lastly, second to lastly, the road is never as you expect it. The issue with a lot of things, especially in worship, is we have this expectation. There's a difference between expectation and expectancy. God said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. But he didn't say that the road was going to be easy. So we think just because he's with us, that means things are going to be perfect. No. It's never this. And the walking with God in the Spirit is a fluidity thing. It's not a methodology. And that's an issue with a lot of us. You are flowing with a being. You may go left, he goes left. He goes right, he goes right. You have to become this versatile just as he is. Because you're trying to be like him, so you have to become like him. He says a river flowing. You see it when you see a river, you see it. It flows. When a rock is in front, it splits. It goes left. It has to go right. It got to go right. Never get in a place where you get into this box mentality where you think it's going to be this certain way. And if it doesn't come out this certain way, then a lot of people quit. And that's a lot of why people quit. Because it didn't come out the way they expected. You thought when you got saved, your salvation life was going to be a walk in a tulip. You thought it was going to look like this. Salvation doesn't always look like you want it to look. You really look at it. Listen, just look at your own testimony. Look at other people's testimony. Have they talked to you? It's ugly sometimes. It's ugly before it gets pretty. Always. Never as expected. And then the final thing. Who's going with you? The reason why vision is so important, because it helps you discern who's not coming with you and who's coming with you. And this helps you, and it saves you from getting upset. Not everybody's in your front line. When it comes to believers, everybody's on the front, certain parts of the line. Not everybody's on the front lines where you're at. And they need to be over, sometimes people, they need to be over here on the front line. Instead of over here, they need to be over here. The thing is, they need to know that. This helps your commitment. Unless your yes be yes and your no be no. You know? Right. Not everybody's, you know, meant to come along with you. And see, like I said, a lot of people are bitter because they find out long down the road that the person wasn't really for them and, you know, all this other things. And it's like, that's because they're supposed to be somewhere else. You never sat down long enough to see which way they were supposed to go. Your destination is your destination, but you got to know it. Like a lot of people will be like, Tim, can you come to? I can't. It's not because I don't want to. It's just because I have something else. It helps you prioritize. From a practical standpoint, it helps you prioritize. It's no point that God will tell you that he's a God of order and then have you manifest disorder. And so this is the thing of, like I said, I kind of piggybacked off my brother Mike, man. He's that worship. Nobody has set. There's a time of sitting down and facing God. See, in this time, it's people are trying to move, but God has put a standstill on everybody, almost. It's like everybody has to stop because it's like he's like shutting doors because they're moving, but they're not moving with a purpose. And those, he's like, nah, stop. It's like, you guys, you have to see my face. You got to start pushing towards me. Because, like I said, in all these things, the most important thing about a vision is they have to understand that in a moment's notice, you got to drop it if it takes you away from him. Like, you can be doing something and very productive and then at the same time be losing your sense of relationship with him, and next thing you know, you have to drop it. You have to make decisions that are ethical, that are maybe against, you know, that may be against God's will. And see, the thing is, nobody knows it. They don't know the liberties that they have in Christ. They don't know where they can go. They don't know these things. They don't know his law. They don't know the ins and outs. They don't have the wisdom to kind of figure out the two. So they're sitting there wondering. So they gotta sit down and be in his face and know his ways, know his thoughts, how he's thinking. It's knowing him. You know, we have these so many songs that are saying pursuing after him. Well, how hard are you pursuing? I have to be honest, I haven't really been pursuing like that. I know I can. Mm-hmm. That pursuit, that hot pursuit, like you pursued the world, like you pursued that hard. Go after him that hard. Mm-hmm. That's what they taught me. Like you went after everything else like that. Now how hard are you going to go after him? Now, and that begins to build the hunger. You have to be able to go into that training ground. It's called, the worship is the training ground. It's now the place of rigor because he's trying to take you to another place. So now you have to go train. Each level, I'm realizing that each level, the place has been hard, but he gets me to a place. It gets shaky, then it gets solid. Then it gets shaky, then it gets solid. Then it gets shaky, then it gets solid. It stretches you. And it almost feels like your flesh can't even take it sometimes. Your flesh is just, that's what he says, when the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, is the capacity. So I just want to share that with you guys. Thank you for letting me speak.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.